Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's matchup show, focusing on the offense in that game against the Rams coming up on Sunday. Joining me, as always, to do that is co-host Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Clint. Glad to be back on for the offensive show. Had a good defensive show, really talking about 11 personnel and how the Ravens could defend that against the Rams with all the weapons they have. And then also trying to take a deep dive into really who the secondary combinations can be, whether it be Wiggins, Hamilton, XYZ. We have a lot of options that we could put out there, and let's see if we could stop this offense for the Rams.
Definitely the Ravens made moves this week that we discussed to try and address some of their biggest weaknesses from the Texans game. Nobody knows if it'll be enough in a game you lost by 34 points. If you address a couple of significant weaknesses, that still might not be enough. But they did do that. And I think, you know, having Hamilton and Alohi Gilman on the field to replace two inexperienced players like Lowry and Martin should help. They may have Humphrey back. We're not sure of that, but he has practiced now. This is the second consecutive day. So it's hoped. And then also, we really talked a lot and referred back to the 2023 game in terms of the Ravens' need to stop the run in this game, getting favorable third down situations instead of the things they've been going through, which seem like a lot of like red flags is not the right word. What's the thing when you wave it in front of a bull, like a red cape or whatever, that you're showing him in order to offer up the opportunity to go for it on two downs from third down? And that's been obviously the Ravens' problem the last three games, is they've got 8 consecutive fourth down conversions, which has significantly lengthened drives and contributed to an enormous snap count loss. So lots of that in the first episode. We hope you go back and take that as a listen. And ready to go with the offensive matchups in this one.
Yep. So my first matchup is the Ravens. The Ravens quick pass game versus the Rams loaded box. We've been seeing the loaded box ever since Lamar Jackson. It's been more of an emphasis now that we don't have him, because people think the main source of offense is going to be Derrick Henry, and which it should be. We have our own issues with the offensive line not being able to make holes for Derek, so it calls for us to do things in the air that doesn't require us to wait for the play to develop. I think the Ravens need to be creative, aka Todd Monken really needs to make space for our playmakers. I would like to see swing passes out of the backfield to Keaton Mitchell with two blockers in front of him, like a abbreviated screen, almost like we see with sometimes with the Rams, sometimes with San Fran. Just being creative and trying to get Derrick Henry out in space as well, whether it be like a turn your back play action and it's all set up for everyone to run goes on the outside and then just run a quick hitch to Henry so we can catch it and turn up field and get some yardage. Just ways to have a different mindset of getting chunk plays or shorter amount of plays, 3 to 4 yards, instead of handing it off to Henry, he runs into a pile of people and now we're back to 2nd and 10. So trying to find ways to chip our way down the field is more effective than taking these shots or trying to just hit the nail on the hammer and it's a dull hammer, like nothing's working. So we need to figure out how to get the quick game going with Zay, likely, and Hopkins as well as a possession receiver over the middle, continuing to make defenses fear us in the pass game so then we can get back to Henry and do the things we want to do.
I'm with you on that. The Ravens, big component missing the offense, and there was a lot missing because things did not go well this last week. They only had 40 offensive snaps, but I thought a big part of it was a complete lack of misdirection in the offense. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you what mine is. I think it's overlapping, and we'll be able to then discuss that at the end. But I think they need to incorporate a lot more misdirection. I think that means more snaps for Mitchell. I think Mitchell probably most naturally, if you're looking for misdirection, comes as a flanker in this game, where you're really using two running backs on the field at the same time. Washington ran that offense for a long time the last few years. But this is something definitely they could gain advantage from. Wester could also play a bigger role on offense. We've seen him for like two or three or four snaps the last few games. It's still not much, but I think if they want to get another misdirection weapon in the game, he's a good one to try. He's extremely elusive, particularly we see on punt returns, but could play a role in the offense. They've got talented edge rushers. I think they need to make sure that occasional chips versus those guys, and Byron Young and Jared Verse are both very good, but you need to try and have chips be enough and not require set blockers. I think the Rams will try and rush four a lot in this game because you could be very effective if you can rush four effectively. That could be about as much as you could do for your defense, period. But when they do rush four and the Ravens chip and they have a chance to have a little bit of time in the pocket for rush, he's got to make plays. He's got to find how to attack seven in the secondary and do it safely. I have a second note on this that'll come into play more, but the tight ends and Bateman, they'll be part of this. The play action boot is available as a means to generate time and space. So, I mean, you've got a quarterback who does not have the threat of mobility. So if you take him under center, go with your standard zone block left, naked boot right, you typically can get that.
We did see that work. One of the plays
this last week, it did work. It was one of the plays that was there. And then you need to use the pass as an extension of the run game. Obviously it's not working to run between the tackles or off tackle. What has worked a little better is throwing short passes to the outside and trying to pick up 5 or 6 yards on first down. And they need to find not one formula, because I don't think you can do it with one formula, but they need to find a set of viable options and what they can do offensively to sustain drives with small ball. They don't have to go deep. And I'll get into the second comment that I have about how they need to try and attack the Rams secondary. But I think it's very important, as you've pointed out, that they get the small ball game rolling effectively in this one.
Yep. So moving on to my next point, I have the Ravens physicality versus the Rams front four or front seven. I think we all know that it's been hard for us to get where we want to go offensively and defensively, whether it be up front on the D-line or O-line. Maybe we do see an adjustment to the left guard position. I know that was a talking point for Harbaugh this week. Someone on the block, he's saying everyone's job is available. He didn't name any names. I think the least likely candidate to get benched is Falele, even though he didn't have a better game than normal last week. Relatively hasn't been the problem on the O-line. Rosengarten has been an issue as well. He's had flashes of being a nasty tackle. He's had plays where you're like, oh my God, this guy can really make it. Then he has plays where he falls off the cliff. So it's important that I think we strive for consistency, but also just bring in some nastiness. Like, our backs are against the wall. We're 1-4. It's almost win or go home at this point. So the offense has to make a choice. Are they going to be feared, or are they going to fear the opponent? And they have to make a difference against a guy like Jared Verse, who's not going to be scared, looking for Lamar to get a sack. I mean, these guys are, no one is intimidated by the Ravens. And I think we need to instill that really with Henry, but we need to start making plays across the board so that we can get him more incorporated.
Be interesting to see how much base we see from the Rams in this game, if they'll play a fair amount with three down linemen and two outside linebackers. But what I would say is that both Young and Verse are guys you can lean on and reduce their pass rushing effectiveness by running the ball against them. It forces them to be a little bit more careful about setting the edge. If they find themselves running themselves out of plays, you need to take advantage of that with some late developing plays. Like, draws are usually a pretty good weapon against that particular characteristic of hyper aggressive edges. But the Ravens also need to use their physicality more. And Falele, while he's not in jeopardy of losing his job, is one guy I want to see be a lot more physical and finish blocks. So I just don't see a reason not for him not to be taking more time with a guy who's already done and out of the play, really trying to make him upset with him. The way we've seen from players in the past, there've been a lot of players, Michael Orr, this was one of his good characteristics when he's a right tackle, is he'd make a lot of other teams upset with him during the game. That's something an offensive lineman should strive for. And just being an effective positional blocker shouldn't be what Daniel Faalele's strength is. I mean, I want to see more from every day. Companies you've never heard of are making millions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records on the internet, then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace built on your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. Aura removes your personal data from broker sites and keeps it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal system. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your online life. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager for safer logins, and spam call protection to shut down scammers. Aura scans the dark web for your most sensitive information and notifies you instantly if anything is exposed. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 billion in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other service charges about the same, but only cover one or two areas. Aura gives you everything. Data broker removal, identity and credit monitoring, device protection, and fraud support all in one simple app. Aura removes what's already exposed, protects what's not, and puts you back in control. Go to aura.com/remove for complete digital protection and peace of mind. That's aura.com/remove.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
Him in terms of finishes.
Yeah, and it's been tough, even though he's grading out on, most notably your scale, as one of the better linemen for the team. I think it's just the physicality is just not, he's almost scared to initiate contact. It looks like there's some plays where he does dig in the dirt and really get his hands dirty, but sometimes on the pulls, I mean, he looks confused and then it's like, oh, should I hit him? Should I hit him? Or he's being indecisive, and I don't know, it just comes off as being soft, but I think he's just not confident enough to just run through somebody. I think he's constantly having that voice in the back of his head giving him some kind of insecurity because it doesn't look confident out there and he's not playing to his size.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. And I think his overall level play has been good enough that he's got some leash to work with, but there's so much more that is correctable about Daniel Faalele, along with a bunch of other things that are not correctable. Like most of the things that rely strictly on his movement skills are probably not correctable. So asking him to pull in a pass blocking situation is usually a lost cause. He's too slow to do that. But getting him into level two and having him, you know, really go up half a level, that doesn't really fall into that same category. And he can do you some good things to hit a scraping linebacker or get in the way of one. He can definitely do some good things in terms of being out in level two and having people not want to take the quickest path to the ball carrier that goes through him, because nobody wants to get hit by Daniel Faalele in level two or three. That's one of the nice characteristics. He's got to use that to his advantage. And decisiveness is one of the areas where he has all sorts of room for improvement still. you know, we're at a funny point with Daniel, because he might be a reasonable re-sign for the Ravens for 2026. Doesn't mean he has a starting job lined up. Emory Jones or some combination of Emory Jones, Voorhees, and Fa'alele and another draft pick are probably the where you likely find the two starters for next year. But I don't think anybody's set. I don't think anybody's, you know, guaranteed in terms of what that is. And, you know, re-signing Fa'alele could be a reasonable choice for the Ravens. It's just it's a question of right player, right price. They need to figure out what that is in terms of, like you say, a three-year deal. All right, it's my turn, right? So we'll look at the rush and the secondary, rush versus the secondary and talented safeties of the Rams. So the Rams are an odd team because they ask their safeties to do an awful lot, including play slot corner. So that's not too dissimilar from what we've seen from Kyle Hamilton in the past, but they don't have a Kyle Hamilton. And the guys they have for the back end are kind of big, and they're not the best coverage players. In particular, Cameron Kinchins, who's a split field free safety, he's been up around 9 and change yards per target, pretty close to 10. But his final year at Miami, he was 13.9 yards per target, which to my mind, that's all I need to see to say the guy's not draftable at all. I said so on draft night, and he hasn't been particularly great at the NFL level either. They have Jalen McCullough. He plays a little bit less, but he plays strong safety primarily, and he had 4 missed tackles against the 49ers. So if you want to know, you know, where are their chances to kind of beat the Rams, I'd say getting Derrick Henry to level 2 would be one of the nice things, because they certainly have some tackling issues on the team. Quentin Lake is a good tackler, a big physical safety who's being used at slot corner. Him in the box is certainly a detriment to the Ravens' run game if that's where he is. He's a good player. He's one of their talented guys. But he's part of the issue of why you should be able to attack this secondary in the air. The other way you can attack them is both of their outside corners are small. So Darius Williams plays now on the outside. Darius Williams, do I remember that name? Well, yes, you do, because he was a Ravens cut from years ago that the Rams poached. And ended up, I don't remember if he didn't make it through to the Ravens practice squad, or he did, and then he was signed off the practice squad. It doesn't really matter. He was taken from the Ravens, and he has been outstanding at points during his career. And the Rams used him originally as a slot corner. He's 5'9", 187. So that screams out slot corner, but now he's their best option to play on the outside. Well, the kind of guy who works out perfectly against a player like Darius Williams is a player who doesn't need to have an uncontested catch against a receiver, because Darius Williams, he can stay in your hip pocket, but he's going to have a hard time getting up to the catch point. And so Hopkins, I'm thinking, would be a really nice matchup for Williams in this game in terms of throwing some jump balls and having him try and make plays on it. Their other corner is Kobe Durant, who's their best corner. He's a 5'11", so that's short for a corner today in the NFL. 5'11" is kind of the absolute minimum, in my opinion, for playing on the outside. But he's pretty good. He's their best corner, certainly, in terms of coverage skills. Definitely a guy you can go after, whether that's with a player like Walker or Flowers crossing the field. They would have no answer for that if they could hold up against the pass rush. I don't think anybody has an answer, but the Rams really don't have an answer for Flowers crossing the field with either of these two cornerbacks. And another guy, this is real interesting that he's still around and still getting chances, but shows you just what a college pedigree and a great college production do for you. Emmanuel Forbes is now in his third year. He's allowed 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, missed 5 tackles, and has a perfect passer rating against. And he still played about 200 snaps this year. It's just incredible to me.
Invested in him. They ended up poaching him. They took him from the Washington Commanders.
I think they traded him for him, didn't they? I mean, I might be wrong about that, but I don't think he was cut by the Commanders. I think they actually traded for him and they gave up some draft capital. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was like a 6th round plus a swap or whatever. I think they got some value for him. His legs are toothpicks. I don't know what you do with that. I don't know what kind of regimen you have to do to get him to at least be of size, but obviously, he's given up. You said 4 touchdowns this year,
3 touchdowns, and it's not that many total times. Let me see if it's total targets here. He's been targeted 14 times, and giving up 190 yards. 190. That's 13 and change per throw he's been on. Three touchdowns. The long pass against him is 75. So 12 out of 14. I mean, he's been murdered in coverage. So if he gets on the field, he's got 215 snaps this year. I mean, just that's incredible, frankly, that they would have him on the field at this point, given what's happened. By the way, Forbes does not have a speed issue. Not that I recall anyway. I recall him being like a 435 guy out of Mississippi State. He's just I don't know what's making him so ineffective at the pro level, but he hasn't been. He's now played 857 snaps of professional football, and during that time, he's given up about 11 yards per target, just south of 11 yards per target in that time.
Yeah, it's the Ravens have to find ways to match up either Zay or Hopkins on him, and then really trying to any of our receivers, honestly, even Wallace would be someone that could do something against a guy like Emmanuel Forbes. So I think you make all good points. Rush has to be really safe with the ball coming up this game. We saw Zay Flowers get frustrated last week at the end of the game, which is understandable because he's came into the league first year in the league, went to the AFC Championship game. So all he really knows is success. This is the real hard first for hardship that he's seen in the NFL. So I'm expecting him to be a focal point this week in the pass game. And to just be a real, real vocal guy when he makes a catch, when he makes a play, trying to get the crowd routed up. I know it's going to be lesser than ideal with the crowd noise in terms of how many people are going to be at the game with the rain and obviously with the performance of the team. So he's going to do his best. We have to play through him to get to Derrick Henry. So it all plays hand in hand.
All right. Always fun doing these shows with you, Frazier. Tell folks where they can reach you online if they have a question or they want to talk football with you.
Yep. You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_Rave8.
Thanks again for everyone for listening. If you want to make use of the mailbag, use # film study mailbag. You can ask a question about anything. If you want to ask a question about the defense or offense, generally I'll address that on the offense or defense show. And if you have one about roster construction, I'll address it on Friday morning GM. If you want to make sure it's properly, it's on the show that you want it to be on, then try and put an additional comment about addressing this on the offensive show or Friday morning GM, or asking Voss or tagging Voss additionally, then I'll know you want it for Friday morning GM. But really appreciate the very high quality questions you guys provide. I'm not like a comedian who relies on audience participation. I'm not someone who really wants to take a ton of phone calls. I do want to have people on to do film study shorts, and I love the question format we've come, but I'm not someone who uses the questions as a crutch. Like you'll sometimes see this on some of the streaming shows and whatnot. And I don't mean that maybe in a terrible way, but it's not the style of show that we have here. But anyway, thank you very much for the questions you do provide us. For Frazier Tapar, this is Ken McKusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.